Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics, with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
No, actually, it is about freedom, President Biden. That's exactly what this is about. This is the United States of America. Last time I checked, we're still a free people, guided by our Constitution and led by the Judeo-Christian principles of our founding. Mark, great to be with you again on informeddissentmedia.com. So much going on, I just can't even believe it.
Hi, Jeff. There is always a lot going on and a lot to talk about.
You know, what I wanted to talk a little bit about with this episode is I want to talk about you and me and how we ended up as two guys doing a podcast together. And there's a quote I read recently and I've been using in some of the speeches that I give that I think is really emblematic of what's going on here. And it's a quote by Friedrich Hayek. Friedrich Hayek is an economist. He won a Nobel Prize in 1974. And he wrote this book called Road to Serfdom. And here's what he said. Emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguards of individual liberty have been eroded. And he went on to say, and once they are suspended, it is not difficult for anyone who has assumed such emergency powers to see to it that the emergency will persist. And that, I think, is quite telling because that is exactly what is going on now in almost every single state with rare exception, and certainly at the federal government level, as President Biden imposes mandate after mandate after mandate on the American people. And I hope a time will come soon where people stand up and stop complying and say, no, you can't do this. You don't have the authority. We still live in a free country. We as individual citizens are in the best position to make decisions for our own health and to determine what is right for us, not for the government to mandate how we must behave as it relates to our health. Now, Mark, we've been doing this for a while. You and I, we give speeches together, talks together, and started a podcast together. But I thought it would be helpful for our audience to understand a little bit more about us and how it came to be that we're doing this and why we're doing this, putting our neck out on the line. A lot of pushback, a lot of people that don't like us speaking our opinion. So remind the audience and tell the audience, how did you get involved in this anyways? You were a happy practicing psychiatrist up in Los Angeles, and now all of a sudden you're banned on Twitter. How did that happen?
Well, Jeff, I started this a little bit after you did. I was really just holed up in my office seeing patients one-on-one, confidentially, never really spoke out publicly about any of my views on politics or society. I kept them to myself so as not to alienate my patients and allow the therapeutic transference to build up in a more organic way. Although I've always had very strongly held beliefs about liberty and freedom, I tend to not introduce them into my work with patients. At least I didn't used to. But I think that quote that you read is a really good reminder or explanation for how people at various stages, and I'm one of those people, became suspicious and concerned about what they were seeing happening in the country. There are still plenty of Americans who are not, and that is actually, in my view, why we're still stuck in the state that we're in, because people who are tyrannical, people who are elected or not elected, have been given license to lord over us without our direct consent. We were essentially allowing them to do it by not resisting and not pushing back. I'm one of the people who noticed very early on that something strange was happening in our country in the early part of 2020. And it wasn't that we had a viral pandemic. That did not terribly concern me. I was reading the data, looking at the statistics, and I knew very quickly that this was not going to be the end of humanity. It was probably going to kill a lot more people than, say, the flu virus did. But I knew that most people who were healthy, who were young, were really not getting sick and not dying. And that was true all around the world. So I wasn't that concerned about it from a medical perspective. I was terribly concerned, though, by what I would later call the fear and hysteria in response to this viral pandemic was causing government bodies and ultimately our fellow citizen to do to us. And so what I ended up doing after writing a very brief op-ed in the paper with a colleague who is a local ophthalmologist about the lack of thoughtfulness and the harm it was causing to the city of Los Angeles by our local mayor Eric Garcetti's stay-at-home policy or safer-at-home policy, I was to start speaking out and to start giving my opinion, not just in public but also to my patients. And what I noticed was I started to speak out and started to give my opinion just in these op-eds, just in talking to people, was a tremendous, tremendous split in reaction. People were either incredibly delighted and relieved to hear that someone else was as concerned as they were about these, what I would call fairly concerning top-down approaches to solving what I thought was really just a medical problem that could be done and solved by doctors. And then the other group of people were just absolutely appalled that I would even raise a question about shutting down schools, about closing stores, about keeping people indoors. Some of those people actually left my practice. Mm-hmm. And so I wound up down this path very quickly, I'd say within 2 or 3 months of spring of 2020, of finding myself pushed into one side of a growing divide and debate in this country that has grown over the last, say, 12 or 13 months since, even more divisive and even more binary. And I think you've had the same experience. Many of the people that I'm now aligned with thoughtfully and in terms of medical strategies and treatment have also been pulled across into this divide. So I don't think that I set out really to be where I am now. I think I was really just pulled there by a current that I didn't feel I could resist, because the other option was just to sort of sit still, say nothing, and allow everything that I care for medically, personally, and in terms of our country to just be taken away.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I never sought to be some activist physician. It happened quite by accident. Although my wife reminds me that, you know, nothing happens by accident. There's always a reason why something happens. And early in the pandemic, I think it was March of 2020, my wife and I were invited to go out to Riverside. Riverside, if you don't know, is inland in coastal Orange County. So it's probably about 90 miles from the coast. And if you've ever driven in Southern California traffic, you'd know that's probably about a two-hour adventure to get from coastal Orange County to Riverside. So we were invited to go out there because some folks were going to rally before the Riverside County Board of Supervisors meeting, where the Board of Supervisors was going to be voting whether or not to open up the county. They had recently closed down, you know, 2 weeks to stop the spread, and they were starting to get a lot of pushback, and they were going to be voting. So a group of patriots wanted to rally before and encourage those supervisors to do the right thing. So my wife said to me, hey, let's go out to Riverside. We were invited to go out there. And my immediate response was, no, thank you. Why would anybody from coastal Orange County want to drive out to Riverside in the middle of the week? It'll take forever to get out there. I had work that day, and I didn't really want to drive to Riverside. Then she reminded me that there were some important folks in our life that were holding that rally. They were very supportive of things we did in Orange County. So I said, yes, dear, and on to Riverside we went. When we arrived there, I was asked to say a few words on the steps of the supervisors' meeting, and I asked my wife to take some pictures. Our kids live far away from home, And of course, if you're a parent, you know a lot of the communication with kids is through text messaging and Snapchat and so forth. So I asked her to take a couple pictures so we could send them to the kids. I thought that'd be fun. Well, instead of the photo button, she hit the video button. And I spoke for about 5 minutes. And one of the things I remember saying, I always carry a copy of the Constitution with me. So I took out the copy of the Constitution and I said something like, "This document was never designed to restrict we the people. It was designed to restrict the government from the people." And of course, the crowd there's a couple hundred people, loved that line and cheered. And at the conclusion of the speech, my wife and I are sitting in front of her iPhone. We keep hitting the button to try to text or email our kids, and it kept coming up, "File too large, file too large." So we couldn't figure out how to send it to them. Then a friend walked over and said, "Oh, that's easy. Just post it on Facebook and they can see it there." So she did that. She posted my 5 or 6 minute video on Facebook. And the next thing I know, I was getting phone calls and communications from literally all over the world, from doctors and media outlets that wanted to interview me about what I had to say. And I realized at that moment that I had a role to play in this medical tyranny that was going on. I was asked to speak multiple times following that speech in Riverside. And I realized at that point that my voice was not unique, that there were a lot of doctors and others across the country and the world that were feeling the same thing that I was feeling but didn't know how to express it. And so I looked at my role really as giving voice to those that otherwise didn't have a voice or didn't have an outlet to speak. Shortly thereafter, I got to know and was introduced to the head of America's Frontline Doctors, and that's Simone Gold. She started that organization, again, for the purpose of giving voice to those that didn't have a voice, to speaking out on behalf of physicians and patients, to try to help carve a different path forward than that was being recommended by the mainstream media and many of the tyrannical, unelected healthcare bureaucrats. And that's really where my activism started. I didn't choose to be an activist. It's not easy to do some of the things that we do. I've lost some patients, but have gained a whole bunch more. People that are looking for a doctor that believes what they believe, that have alternative mechanisms of treatment, not just listening to the mainstream media and the mainstream narrative that's coming down from the CDC and the FDA, that is being trusted less and less as a healthcare organization and looked at more and more like a political organization. That's how they're acting. Listen, it's been, I think, an important role that you and I play. We're helping, I think, thousands and thousands of people across the country. I know personally I've treated hundreds of patients with COVID successfully and have spoken to numerous doctors about how to treat and have pointed them to various websites where these repurposed medication protocols are available. And believe me, listen, there's a lot of my own colleagues that have shunned me, that don't like what I'm doing. They call me anti-vax when I'm anything but. I'm pro-choice. I'm pro-informed consent for any medical procedure, be it a vaccination or any procedure that we might do on a patient. And more now, the healthcare bureaucracy is simply telling people to shut up, to be obedient, and do what they say for their own good. It's feeling a lot like a third world country in many ways, a dictatorship. Mark Levin wrote a book about halfway through called,
American Marxism.
Yes, American Marxism. And if what we're seeing now isn't Marxism, I don't know what it is. Top down, bottom up, lack of choice, forced behavior. The vices are squeezing in on people where personal choice is being eliminated. And I think with this comes a silver lining. Parents are seeing what's going on in the schools. Patients are seeing what's going on with the healthcare industrial complex, institutions that they used to trust, like the AMA, the FDA, the CDC, are being looked at skeptically. We talked about this at another podcast where you described to our audience about the AMA coming out with a recommendation that they voted on that birth certificates should no longer indicate the baby's gender. It's directional directions like that that are coming from institutions that we used to trust, where people are now becoming skeptical, and the division is growing, not shrinking. And it's all because of this tyranny that's starting in Washington, D.C., and trickling down to too many of our states.
Shut up and obey is a really good summary slogan that I think describes what we've been living under in the last year and a half. And it divides people into two categories, those who do shut up and obey and those who don't. There are really only two groups of Americans left in this country, and it's those two groups. Have you had the experience, I know I have, that in alienating a certain percentage of your colleagues, your friends, perhaps even family members, and obviously the public, patients, that you also draw towards you those who are in the other category? The shut up and obey crowd definitely does not like me, does not like you, does not like anyone like us, and they often will distance themselves or outright attack us. But the side that is not interested in shutting up and obeying, but speaking out and questioning, have you had the experience that those people come and find you?
I really have, and that's been part of the silver lining. I have, my wife and I have probably made more close friends over this last year than we have, you know, in a decade before. It really seems to attract like-minded people that want to be around other like-minded people, patriot, freedom-loving people that don't like the idea of being told what to do. So we've made a lot of close friends over the last year or so. My practice is as busy as it ever has been in my entire career, almost to the point that I may need to start turning away patients that want to come see me. There's such a thirst and a hunger, if you will, for wanting to have relationships with people that believe what you believe. And it's actually terrible. I mean, I'm enjoying my friendships, new friendships. I'm enjoying what I'm doing in my practice and helping people. I hear stories almost every day from folks that I've reached out and helped that are so grateful for finding somebody that they can trust, that they can believe, that doesn't just echo the mainstream narrative. But at the same time, it really makes me sad that this divide is occurring so deeply that I just don't see any bridge to bring the two sides together. You know, we just recently celebrated the anniversary of 9/11, and I remember when that happened 20 years ago. My wife and I were together, as a matter of fact. We were exercising in front of a TV, and the news came on with 9/11, and we were just standing there exercising in a state of shock. And I remember the weeks following, the country came together like I have never seen before over a unified belief of the greatness of America and that we need to rally to preserve liberty in America. But now that liberty is being threatened again. And unfortunately, I just don't see us coming together and unifying over a shared value of liberty, of freedom, of the Constitution, and so forth. And I just don't know what the end game is. I don't know what's going to happen a month or a year from now. I mean, listen, this coronavirus, this Wuhan virus is not going to be with us forever. Right? I mean, it's going to get under control. We're going to have new medications. We're going to reach herd immunity. But this divide that has occurred over the last year and a half or so, I just don't know how we're going to reconcile it and come back together as a country where we can all get along. The red states are getting redder. The blue states are getting bluer. I'm just not sure what the path forward is.
I think that this is actually going to be the schism that splits the country in half. I don't think that there's a compromise. I think we're in a cultural war. One side is going to win and one side is going to lose. I do not feel a sense of optimism and hope for that resolving. But I also don't feel pessimistic in the sense that I think it's the end of America. I think it may just be the dawn of a new era where we have to redefine our country. I just landed a few days ago in Miami from a flight that left Puerto Rico. And when the plane landed, I started chatting with the woman sitting next to me. She had an accent. I'm not sure exactly where she was from. It was a Spanish accent. And she turned to me and she said, you know, this whole thing with all of the masks and the distancing, it's just driving me crazy. And I immediately bonded with her, of course, because I feel the same way. And the next thing out of her mouth was reminiscent of what you said about 9/11, because we were heading into that. It was the 10th of September when I landed on that flight. And she said, you know, tomorrow is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I remember that day. I remember where I was, and I remember what happened afterwards, how everyone came together. Everyone recognized that they were American. And then she said, that's not happening now. It's just the opposite. We're coming apart. And well, on my next leg, go ahead.
I was going to say, in part, the difference, I think, was it was an external force that brought us together, and now it's an internal force that's driving us apart.
That's true. This is a ripping from the inside out. It's like a little alien, like the Sigourney Weaver movie, that's been planted inside, that's just pushing out against our abdominal wall, ready to just tear us into pieces and leave the host dead behind it. I had an opposite, the other end experience, I should say, as I was getting off the plane on the next leg, landing in Los Angeles, where the stewardess accosted me as I was walking off the plane, reminded me to put my mask on. I looked up at her, it was under my chin, and I ripped it off my face and walked right out the door of the airplane. About 20 feet later, another woman came up from behind me, and she said, you know, I'm really impressed that you ripped that mask off your face. And from there, we started a long conversation that ended in the baggage claim area. And again, immediately bonded with this woman. And she was a foreigner. She was actually from Eastern Europe. And so she said, you know, I know where this goes. I know what this looks like. I wasn't born in this country. And I've never, ever felt afraid of anything in my life. And I certainly am not going to be afraid of the government and not going to follow their stupid rules by putting masks on my face and getting vaccines. I really don't need that. So I have noticed that there has been a split. I have noticed that the country is not coming together to defend against an external threat. It's being ripped apart from the inside. And I do believe that Americans are by and large divided into two camps, one that is skeptical of big government and sincerely, passionately interested in defending their freedoms, their choices, and being left alone. And there's another group, and it's a growing group, particularly with young people, people in their 20s and early 30s, who do not understand or respect the concept of autonomy, liberty, and freedom. They want to be dependent on the state. They want to be told what to do. And they chafe at anyone who questions that way of life. And they see them as threats. I don't think there is any way to resolve that. I don't think there is any compromise. This is a fundamentally opposite way of looking at the world. And it can only end with one side taking over the other. I do not see any other way out of this.
Yeah, I don't know that you described this previously as the rational and the irrational. I don't know that what we would describe as the irrational, those that are wearing masks outdoors, those that are vaccinated and still wearing masks, those that think that the vaccine is the path forward. I don't see that the irrational are bonding together the same way that us rational, what I think are rational folks, are. You know, listen, you walk into, you're out and about and you see somebody wearing, you know, I'm wearing a We the People t-shirt on right now, and you see somebody wearing that and there's immediate affinity to them. I don't know that two people walking that both have masks on look at each other and give each other the thumbs up as if to acknowledge some underlying philosophical belief system that they share. I don't know that that's happening. I think those folks are behaving more out of fear. And although, people that are fearful maybe are attracted to each other, I don't think it's the same attraction as those that are attracted based on the principles of limited government, freedom, liberty, and so forth. I don't know. What do you think?
That's an actually really interesting point that I never considered. The huddled masses that are hiding out in the cave from the great big monster that is threatening to eat them up, or so they believe, they don't really share any values other than the belief in self-protection and in glomming together like a herd of frightened sheep to escape from the wolf. That does not create bonds. That creates mob mentality. And the bond that you're describing, the affinity that people feel when they see a baseball cap or a t-shirt that has a description of their values on it, that does not come from shared fear. They don't come together, those people, to protect themselves from the wolf. They come together to gather strength through shared values, through
exactly.
shared passion.
Exactly.
That's very different, and that's a much more powerful endpoint.
Yeah, no, let me share a quick story. There's a patient who's a friend. She is a ICU nurse at Children's Hospital here in Orange County. And they've started, all the staff at the hospital wear badges to identify themselves as a doctor or nurse or what have you. And now they're required to have a sticker on their badge to indicate whether they're vaccinated or not. And so there'll be a little C sticker if you have a COVID vaccine. And those without a sticker are the unvaccinated. So she described periods where she'll be walking down the hall and she'll see a colleague. They'll glance at each other's badges. And if they both notice that there's no C on that badge, there's this immediate affinity. There'll be a wink of an eye or a little thumbs up or a little fist bump, an acknowledgement that they both share the same value system as to why they don't think it's necessary and are choosing not to get the vaccine. And I hear that story repeated over and over again, both in the hospital situation and just out in public, where there's this immediate attraction to people that share your values. And I just don't see that happening on the other side. So that gives me hope that we're a much more cohesive group, that we're bonded together on lasting principles, not just on a moment of fear or despair or some other psychological mental state. And so I think that's going to be more long-lasting. That's somebody I'd rather be in my foxhole, if you will, somebody I share values with, than be in a foxhole with people that are all fearful of what might come next. And so maybe there is a path forward that the rational patriots will be much longer lasting than the fear-based reality that's going on right now.
Well, you look at the Soviet Union and the dissidents in the Soviet Union, they banded together. They wrote books that are still being read. Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn is still widely read and regarded as the irrevocable, incontestable condemnation of the inevitable failings of communism and its impossibility to achieve its goals and successes as purported and reported and as promised. And I wonder if maybe that's who we are. We're the dissidents, and we're in the midst of the repressed Soviet people working in the factories and out in the in the farms. And we know what happened to the Soviet Union.
Yep, maybe we are the Atlas Shrugged of our time. We'll see. We'll have to talk more about this. Mark, great to be with you again. informeddissentmedia.com, podcast available on all the usual outlets, including Spotify. And we look forward to being with you again next time.
Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Informed Dissent with Dr. Jeff Barkey, board-certified primary care physician, and Dr. Mark McDonald, board-certified child, adolescent, and adult psychiatrist. Informed Dissent, the intersection of healthcare and politics.